Shri Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 24, Worshipping Govardhan Hill, text 19.
Ajivaikyattaram bhavam yastranyam upajivati natasmad vindate kshemam jaranaryasatigata ajivaikyattaram bhavam yastvanyam upajivati natasmad vindate kshemam jaranaryasati yata ajivaikyattaram bhavam yastvanyam upajivati natasmad vindate kshemam jaranaryasati yata
ajivya, sustaining his life.
Ekattaram,
one.
Bhavam,
entity.
Ya,
who?
To,
but.
Anyam,
another.
Upajivati,
resorts to.
Na,
not.
Tasmat,
from that one.
Vindate,
gains.
Chemam,
real benefit.
Jarat,
from a paramour.
Nari,
a woman.
Asati,
who is unchaste.
Yatha,
as. If one thing is actually sustaining our life, but we take shelter of something else, how can we achieve any real benefit? We would be like an unfaithful woman who can never achieve any actual benefit by consorting with her paramour. Purport. The word chemong means actual prosperity, not merely the accumulation of money. Here, Lord Krishna boldly argues that just as a woman can never achieve actual dignity or enlightenment from an illicit lover, the residents of Vrindavan will never be happy by neglecting the real source of their prosperity and worshipping Indra instead. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the audacity that child Krishna displayed before his father and other elders should be understood as an exhibition of transcendental anger aroused when he saw his eternal devotees worshipping an insignificant demigod. Om Ajnanatimanandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Kurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You see that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, has emotions, even such as anger. But the anger is flawless. The anger is enlivening and blissful. That is the nature of the spiritual world. Advaya Gyan, or knowledge of non-duality, truly means not that everything is a bland, imaginary oneness without variety. No. Advaya Gyan, knowledge of non-duality, means that although there are differences, varieties, all the variegatedness forms one harmonious unit. And in the spiritual world, all the varieties have the same blissful effect. Not the same blissful effect in taste, but the same effect in that all the tastes result in ananda. That means even pain in the spiritual world results in ananda. This is Advaita Gyan. Whether Krishna is with you or there is some separation, still the result is ananda, although there are different tastes, as Lord Chaitanya taught. That love of Krishna in separation is the most confidential and exquisite taste. No one likes separation in the material world. No one likes pain. But in the spiritual world, everything, all the emotions, have the blissful effect, although they're different tastes of bliss. In this way, eternally the Navarasa prevails. Eternally the ever-freshness prevails. What is it that ruins the freshness in the material world? Time. Everything in the material world is under the control of the time factor. And this is what frustrates your attempts to enjoy or control. Time is always taking things away. Time is always deteriorating things. You will do much to understand the reality of material existence when you understand the role of the time factor in spoiling everything. Nothing that you acquire can make you content because it's becoming spoiled. Just like some food that is left out. After some time, it'll become impossible to eat. Although in the beginning it was fresh. Everything in the material world is like that. You'll become very peaceful when you calmly accept this fact. Otherwise, you'll always be blaming others for faults in relationships, for dissatisfactions, and you'll never accuse the real culprit, the time factor. The time factor is affecting your body, your mind, your interactions, your relationships. All those things are embedded within the time factor. So why don't you finger the real culprit? Find out the thing that's really causing the problems. Because of the time factor, you can't be satisfied with one particular perverted rasa, one particular taste in the material world. You must try this, you must try that. You must take the 8 separated elements of Krishna that compose the material energy and turn them this way, that way, trying to squeeze some special flavor out. And in the end, there is despair, emptiness, and dissatisfaction. Here, Lord Krishna is demonstrating his anger produces such wonderful effects. All glories to Krishna's anger. Generally, people don't want that. There's God with anger because they're afraid of being punished. They're afraid of fundamentalistic preachers trying to make them feel guilty. You're all sinners in the hands of an angry God. Repent now! They don't like that. They're afraid. They want to feel good about themselves and feel good about material life. And they think that's the purpose of religion. Worship God and you will be prosperous. Worship God and you will enjoy material life. Then people think, oh yes, this is very good religion. No, what does the Bhagavatam say? Kaitava Dharma. That is cheating religion. And it is banned from the Bhagavatam in the very beginning. Dharma Projita Kaitavatra. Paramo Namatsaranam Satam. The Bhagavatam from the very beginning sweeps out Dharma Projita. All the Kaitava Dharma, all the cheating religion. Cheating religion means religion performed for any other purpose except the pleasure and satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. That is swept out of Bhagavatam. That means not only karma, but also jnana, mystic yoga, all swept out. The only conclusion of Bhagavatam is parabhakti, transcendental loving service to the Lord. Savaipum samparantarmo yato bhakti ratokshita. First class religion means it's simply giving you a chance to love Krishna without any material motivation, no material cause. Ahoituki pratiyata. No interruption. Because there's no material motive, your service has no break. It is the material motivations that cause a break in our service. Try and watch. Make a study of your life. And see that when you think you're not getting what you want from Krishna, you slacken in your service. Why hasn't Krishna fulfilled my desires the way I want them fulfilled? I've been giving so much of my life and energies to devotional service. Surely Krishna should reciprocate with me as I desire. And when that doesn't happen, you reduce your service. No matter where you're situated, you could be living in the ashram. All right, that's enough. It's time to look out for me. You could be living in your own home. Look, my home is my business. I have a few pictures of Krishna on the wall. Let's leave it at that. This affliction is universal. It affects all ashrams, all situations, because it is Maya, and Maya is everywhere in the material world. When you get what you want, you become very enthusiastic. Have you noticed that? Materially speaking, have you noticed days when everything seems to go your way? You become enlivened, don't you? Yes, this is life as it should be. When someone treats you in such a way that all your desires are fulfilled, your head spins. Wow. This is the universe as it should be. So naturally, you would speculate that real religion should make me feel that way. It should give me what I want. Otherwise, why should you worship God? Rarely does it dawn on people that the purpose of worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead is simply for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. People think that when Krishna says, surrender to me, he must be looking for some benefit for himself. And unconsciously, the people reason that, doesn't Krishna have enough already? Does he have enough power and opulence? Why is it that, you know, he is so intent on our surrender? Haven't we given him enough already? We touched the ghee lamp in the morning. Isn't that enough? What more does Krishna want? We don't say like that, of course, but unconsciously there's that problem lurking in our heart. My time has come. It's actually always been here, but now I'm just letting everyone know. It's my time right now. This is my moment. And what is Krishna going to do about it? Right now, my desire should be fulfilled. Right now. I have decided that my desires are good and natural. I've decided my program is authorized. Therefore, let me worship Krishna, and he'll fulfill my program. And when it doesn't happen, instead of saying, Krishna knows best, we say, something's not working here. There's something wrong with the process of bhakti yoga. Something wrong with the leaders. There's something wrong with the spiritual authorities. And there's something amiss. I'm not getting what I want. There has to be something amiss. I don't want to blame Krishna. Now, most will not blame Krishna. Instead, you look around. Who can get the blame? Who will be the scapegoat? And then you go for it. Because of that person, because of such and such, this and that, therefore. Now, what if you begin to glorify Krishna for his giving you exactly what you need to advance in Krishna consciousness? It may not seem like that at the time, but as you progress in bhakti, when you look back, you see, actually, Krishna knew what he was doing. It's just right now, you may not see that. The anger that we are seeing here in this Govardhan Leela is Krishna's desire to establish pure loving devotional service in Vrindavan Dham. He was transcendentally angry that here in my own hometown, my intimate village, there are some excesses for Indra. So as we said the other day, the Lord had three purposes in responding the way he did. First of all, to curb the pride of Indra. Secondly, to inaugurate the Govardhan Puja, worship of Govardhan Hill. And thirdly, to bond even more deeply with the Brijvasis, because all together they would be underneath Govardhan Hill for 7 days as the rains poured down. The more you hear about Krishna, the more you develop confidence that Krishna actually knows me better than myself, and he will fulfill my desires in a way much better than I could do. You have to be willing to grant Krishna that concession. He knows my desires better. He knows how to fulfill my desires better than me. Now, this is actually a major step in your spiritual life. Just think about it. To admit that someone knows your desires better than you, and someone can fulfill your desires better than you can, to accept such a thing requires humility. And in the age of Kali, humility is not very common. So therefore, people approach the Supreme Lord with arrogance. I know what I want, Krishna. Here's some puja. Now give it to me. When I was in, I remember a few years ago when I was in Calcutta. Very nice university students after program were approaching me. They were in complete anxiety. Maharaj, what to do? What to do? I'm not doing well in school. I have done all the pujas. I did like my parents said. I worship Durga so much, but I'm not getting the result. What to do? Is there something in Krishna consciousness that can help me? Now, all of you here, of course, you're not demigod worshippers, so you wouldn't take that very seriously. But my point is, let's look at our desires and what we're approaching Krishna with. Can we show real humility by admitting, conceding, that Krishna knows our desires better than we do, and Krishna can fulfill our desires better than we can? This requires self-control, restraint, and humility. Because especially the Western world is built on this power of acquisition. You go out and get it for you. No one even accepts the preliminary morality of Christian shastras anymore, where Jesus says, "The meek shall inherit the earth." People say, yeah, the meek shall inherit the earth, right. That means they'll be buried 2 meters under the earth. That's how they'll inherit the earth. They'll be trampled over, killed, and they'll be dead. That's how the meek shall inherit the earth. The emphasis is on go out and get it economically. Go out and get it in terms of hedonism. If you want to enjoy, just go out and enjoy. Let nothing stand in your way. Don't have any regrets, because everyone is like that. In fact, that's the way it should be. Just like you're walking through an orchard with beautiful fruits, apples hanging from the tree, just reach up and pluck one. It's yours. So that's the attitude people are trained to have in material existence. Now more than ever, there's so much pressure. You've got to get. You've got to acquire. You've got to make your mark in the world. There's democracy almost everywhere. That means you have a chance. This is how the illusory energy cheats you. Meanwhile, why is it that people are more stressed out than ever before? There seems to be something going wrong here. More than ever, the pressure, the pushing is on you. Get out and get for you. And more than ever, people are stressed out and full of anxiety. So this ought to tell you something, that people are not endeavoring in the right way. They're not desiring in the right way. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu must be performed. We may not like that. Well, why everything for Vishnu? What difference does what little I have make if I give it to Vishnu? He has everything already. So many devotees are worshiping Vishnu, giving him this and that. What difference does it make if I keep my little bit for myself? Do you really think that's going to make a difference in this world? That I keep the little bit I have for me? Why are you so repressive and so just insensitive? Let us be broad-minded. Let us acknowledge that Krishna should get some puja and we should get what we want. And then life will be peaceful. Is life peaceful that way? No. And Krishna in Vrindavan with his associates knows. Let me establish the pure principle of Krishna Bhakti. Let me do something to straighten Indra out. So that anger is beneficial for everyone. It produces pleasure. No matter what Krishna does, it produces pleasure, even when he kills. That's why he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why there's a difference between the limited soul and the unlimited soul. Now, Krishna has been going through several verses of Karmavad, Karma Mimamsa. The activity you do, the karmic activity is the everything. You should just focus on your work. Worship your work. What is that saying in India? That something seva is madhava seva? Huh? Manava seva is madhava seva. Work for mankind is work for Madhava, the Supreme Lord. Yes. That's what Krishna is saying right here, not speaking truthfully, but Krishna's teasing the residents of Vrindavan. Isn't that the philosophy? Manava seva is Madhava seva. Glorify work. Who needs Indra? Now, even if you say that demigods have some role to play, the demigods simply exist to give you the rewards, the results of your karmic activity. So actually, karmic activity is supreme. Worship karmic activity. Even if you say that the super soul in the heart observes what you do and arranges that you get certain results, still, the super soul simply observes the impressions in your heart from your past life, and he must reciprocate accordingly. So even the super soul is subordinate to work. Therefore, let us worship work. Let us worship karma. Just do your duties, nothing more. This is atheism, of course. And many people think like that. Not only in India, but you have the New Age equivalent in the Western world. That you just act according to what you feel is best and everything will be all right. That's a much grosser version of Manava Seva is Madhava Seva. At least in India, they have some rough idea still of what are prescribed duties. You must take care of your family. You must take care of your children. You must support your relatives. In the Western world, of course, everyone has advanced far beyond that. What do you need a family for? Families get in the way often. And so what if you have a few children in the process of your intimate affairs? Just do what you have to do in order to enjoy, because your children are going to make the same decision. So better that you, as an honest mother and father, show the children how to simply be true for your own sense gratification. That's being honest with your kids. Many parents actually think that way. Don't try to put a guilt trip on me that I should stay together with your father or mother just for the sake of the children. We've progressed far beyond that. What do you think this is, India? We're liberated. We're free. The children will benefit by seeing our honesty. They'll see that the purpose of life is to enjoy as you feel best. It's up to each individual. So we're actually benefiting the children by setting that example. We've explained before, this is how so many people think. They have no obligations or duties to anything except their own sense gratification. So that is their age of Kali version of karma mimamsa. I think I'm doing good, therefore it's good. And things will work out somehow. Even on our boat ride on Sunday, we had about 100 guests. And I asked the guests, and they were all 99.9% from India, I said, does anyone here accept the philosophy that no worries, just do what you think is nice and it'll all work out? And some persons raised their hands. And one person even explained, yes, you just act in a way that you think is nice and don't worry. The universe will take care of you. So that's the corrupted version of karma mimamsa. Karma mimamsa means you endeavor to find out the authorized system of punya, good karma, and you follow that, mistaking that system as supreme. The Western corruption is there's no authorized system of punya, good karma, bad karma. You decide, and then the universe reciprocates with you based on what you decide. This is crazy. So, just by Krishna speaking this word jugglery, he's exposing the illogic of such notions. And he's also minimizing Indra's ego. Krishna speaking like this to make the point there's no need to worship Indra. Now, in the process of making that point, he's giving the negative. If we don't follow what I've said, that work is the everything and glorify work, and if we take shelter of something else, how can we achieve any real benefit? We would be like an unfaithful woman who can never achieve any actual benefit by consorting with her paramour. So, here Krishna is explaining, if you don't accept what I just said, this is the negative result. This is how genuine spiritual knowledge is. There's always the positive and the negative. Of course, in this case, Krishna is purposely concocting. But still, you see the use of the positive and the negative. First of all, if you glorify work, worship work, then automatically all good will come to you. Demigods aren't important. Puja is not important. It is the karmic activity that is all in all. Everyone is subordinate to that, even the super soul. Then he gives the negative. And if you think that something else other than karma is maintaining your life, and you take shelter of something else, you'll get bad effects. You'll be just like a woman who thinks she'll get benefit by consorting with her paramour. Now, in this case, Krishna's negative arguments, of course, are purposeful concoctions. But throughout the Shastra, you will indeed find the genuine negative consequences presented. And sometimes people, especially in the Western world, but even now in India, it's becoming quite common. They want to reject all the negative aspects of the Shastra. All the prohibitions and all the explanations of how you get negative effects by acting in a certain way. Such persons just want to stress the positive, that you just act a certain way and that's it. Don't have to consider any negative implications. Anytime you bring up the negative implications, they think, oh, this is old-fashioned. Modern spirituality means you just tune in to the all-pervading spirit, and that's all. There's no question of negative activities because you understand what you're doing, and you tried not to hurt so many people, so how can there be anything negative in this universe that results from what you do? You know that you're innocent. Or even if you did something that you might think is wrong, still, you didn't really mean to do that. You had an off day. Therefore, why do we have to trot out this list of negativities as Krishna does in Bhagavad Gita? Such persons want everything to be hazy and cloudy. No presentation of the ill effects of wrong behavior, wrong consciousness. Many people think that's primitive. It's extremist, it's fundamentalist. No, presenting the negativities is an essential part of real knowledge. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, what do we find Krishna explaining to Arjuna? He's gone through 18 chapters in which he's concluding that bhakti is the highest. He says in text 56 of chapter 18, Sarva karmanyapi sada kurvano mad vipasraya mat prasada avapnoti shasvatam paramavyayam. Though engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotees, under my protection, reach the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. Here Krishna is encouraging you. 24 hours a day, mold your life so that you always think of Krishna. This is the fun of bhakti. Bhakti is creative in that you have the freedom to design a lifestyle so that you'll remember Krishna at every moment. Now, you need training in order to do that. You need guidance. You need education. But the result of that training, education, and guidance is you finally understand what real creativity is. You can design your lifestyle so that you can most effectively remember Krishna around the clock. That's why the Lord is saying, sarva karmani api sada. Although you're engaged in all kinds of activities, you'll reach my eternal and imperishable abode by my grace, mat prasada. Because you're acting under the guidance of the Lord and the Lord's devotees. Acting under the guidance of the Lord and his devotees doesn't mean there's no creativity. It's amazing. As you become more Krishna conscious, you realize how much leeway you have, how much space you have in order to become more Krishna conscious. When you're a young devotee, you actually don't see this enormous space around you. It's like a huge outback. You think, oh, maybe sometimes this is a bit constricted, Krishna consciousness. You can't do this, you can't do that. Negativities, prohibitions. Someone's always trying to engage you in service. But as you become a mature devotee, you see, I have so much opportunity how to improve my service, how to increase my service. There are 24 hours in the day. Creativity means I can choose how to be more Krishna conscious. Even if my duty is sweeping floors all day from morning till night. I have the creative option how to do that in such a way that my Krishna consciousness becomes more and more stimulated. Don't have a material conception of creativity. Understand that there's so much creative room in terms of how you apply your consciousness. You can wash pots from morning to night, and by Krishna's grace, mat prasada, you'll see I have unlimited room for how to situate my consciousness as I'm doing this apparently simple activity. Now, in the next verse, the Lord advises, Chetasa sarva karmani mahi sanyasya matpada buddhi yogam upasrija machita satatam bhava. In all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. This was a very favorite verse of mine when I was a brand new devotee. Of course, it's still a favorite. But I really was intrigued by this verse. How do you do devotional service in such a way that you're fully conscious of Krishna? This we should ask ourselves. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives such wonderful, timeless, golden advice. He says, when one acts in Krishna consciousness, he does not act as master of the world. Just like a servant, one should act fully under the direction of the Supreme Lord. A servant has no individual independence. He acts only on the order of the master. In this way, Srila Prabhupada develops his presentation of how to think of Krishna always throughout all activities. The Sanskrit word matparaha is very important in this verse. It indicates that one has no goal in life save and except acting in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. Now here's how to do this. You can't get any more practical than this. And while working in that way, one should think of Krishna only. How do you do that? You think, I have been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna. While acting in such a way, one naturally has to think of Krishna. This is perfect Krishna consciousness. Now, how many of you try this throughout your day of devotional service? Whether you live in the temple or outside, whatever. Do you think, I have been appointed to discharge this duty by Krishna? If you take your service in that way, then Krishna can inspire you more with creativity. But if you take it all as a drudgery, then you'll take a long time to become purified and inspired. But if you just follow this purport in Bhagavad Gita, no matter what service you have, no matter where you're living, if you think, I have been appointed to do this task by Krishna, let me do it in such a way that Krishna is pleased. You're thinking about Krishna, and that is samadhi. Even in terms of, well, anything you do. There's no activity in bhakti that's exempt from this kind of consciousness, and you'll be happy like this. Whatever your service is, take it as your life and soul. Krishna has given me this service to do. Then, naturally, you'll think of Krishna while you do the service. This is perfect Krishna consciousness. One should, however, note that after doing something whimsically, he should not offer the result to the Supreme Lord. That sort of duty is not in the devotional service of Krishna consciousness. One should act according to the order of Krishna. This is a very important point. That order of Krishna comes through disciplic succession from the bona fide spiritual master. So, whimsically, let me decide how Krishna should be pleased. And while doing that activity, I won't pay so much attention. Whimsically also means that you're executing a service without your consciousness into it. You're just doing it externally. You're just going through the motions. That's not a very nice offering to Krishna at all. Now, Krishna is going on explaining the positive to Arjuna, but the negative will come, because that's the way you teach someone, both positive and negative. He says, Machita sarvadurgani mat prasada tadishyasi achitatvam ahankaran nashroshyasi vinamshyasi. If you become conscious of me, in other words, in the way you just heard in this purport of taking all your service as given to you by Krishna and thinking how to do it in the best way, if you become conscious of me, you'll pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. Those devotees who've been around trying to do devotional service for 10, 20, 30 years, they know, actually, it's all by Krishna's grace. We tried to be conscious of Krishna, and somehow, even through the greatest impediments and obstacles, we passed over them. Now it's negative time. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. You don't like this, do you? It's old-fashioned, right? It's not progressive. It's restrictive. Can you imagine an ordinary person saying to you, if you don't work in such consciousness as I've explained, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you'll be lost. Immediately your anger comes. How dare you talk like that to me? Who do you think you are? Now, sometimes we even unconsciously have that attitude toward Krishna. We don't say it, but we just try to pass over these sections of Bhagavad Gita very quickly. Krishna is doing us a great favor by giving us the negative side. And he continues, he elaborates in the next verse. Yadahankaram ashritya nayotya iti manyase mityaisha vyavasayaste prakatistvam nayokshati. If you do not act according to my direction and do not fight, then you'll be falsely directed. By your nature, you'll have to be engaged in warfare. Krishna is telling Arjuna, Maya will engage you if you don't engage in devotional service. All your skills and abilities and natural material propensities will be exploited by Maya. If you don't act according to my direction, you're still going to act. Let us say a great tragedy happens and some of you leave Krishna consciousness. Does that mean you're not going to act? That's why I always ask devotees, okay, you think that there's some opportunity for you in material existence. Okay, what are you going to do? How are you going to act? Name me all the things you're going to do when you drop your Krishna consciousness. No matter where you live, inside the temple, near the temple, far away, you're stopping your bhakti. What are you going to do? Tell me all the variegated things you're going to do. Introduce me to this world of variety. What can you do? Work. And the Kali Yuga vices, which you all know about. That's all. That's all there is to offer. Such a life, that's all it offers. But when the material energy acts on your mind, what do you see? Oh, out there, in material existence, there'll be room for me to please myself. There'll be room for fulfillment. I'll meet other persons who will enthuse me and fulfill me. It looks like that, but you're actually visualizing water in the desert. So, in the next verse, Krishna goes on with the negative reality. Svabhava jena konteya nabhada svena karmana kartum nishtasi yanmohat karishyasya vishopita. Under illusion, you are now declining to act according to my direction. But compelled by the work born of your own nature, you will act all the same, O son of Kunti. After this explanation, the Lord gives Arjuna the choice. I've explained everything to you. Deliberate on it fully and do what you wish to do. So there has to be the negative as well as the positive. This is mercy. Krishna is explaining all sides of the situation. It is love when someone tells you, if you don't do this and act another way, you're going to suffer. Our tendency, however, is to think, I'm being curtailed. I'm being restricted. My needs aren't being taken into account. Is that our natural tendency to protest like that? You don't understand my needs, Krishna. Mainly the problems with Krishna. Because you're a devotee, you can't say like that. So you look for a scapegoat. It's Dandakaranya. You're not giving me what I want. You must have some kind of position that's impeding me. What's your position now? Yeah. That's a crossways, Manji. Because of you. This happens so many times. And then when you become disgruntled with Dandakaranya, what do? You gradually fade away. And if you've got nothing else to do, you start a website. A whole web page dedicated to blasting Dandakaranya. Life becomes so peaceful when we understand that Krishna knows our desires best, and he knows how to fulfill our desires best. Then you can act in devotional service in full consciousness of Krishna. You can focus on doing your service for Krishna's pleasure. Here in the Govardhan Leela, Krishna is also speaking negatively, but it's all part of a teasing package. He's teasing Indra. He's provoking Indra on purpose. He's speaking in such a way that will purposely get Indra angry. He's inciting Indra because Krishna wants to expose Indra's arrogance. Still, in the presentation, the Lord is using positive and negative, letting us know this is an authorized way of presenting things. All right, any questions? If you don't ask any questions, yes.
Krishna
says
that there's no work for fixing.
Mm-hmm.
No any results that arise from it. And one who understands this will never become entangled. Why is that?
Because to truly understand Krishna requires a lifestyle of freedom from entangling activities. You can't understand Krishna when you're embedded in karmic activity. The cloud of dirt obscures the vision of Krishna. So if you actually understand Krishna, that means you've adopted a lifestyle that allowed you to do that. Or you think it's all theoretical? You have to decide, do you want to understand Krishna? Then you've got to pay for your education. How do you pay for your education in Krishna consciousness? Through yajna, sacrifice. Little bit of austerity asked. Is has anyone here experienced extreme austerities? Whether you live here or in your own home, have you experienced extreme austerities in trying to be Krishna conscious? But you have to decide. Do you really want to understand Krishna? Is it worth it? It's like you're a young man now, what, 30 years old? 31? 31. Is this really what you should be doing as a 31-year-old adult? What do you think? Isn't there some fulfillment in material existence that you could be having? If we really want to understand Krishna, then we'll do the necessary. It takes commitment. The more you hear about Krishna, the more you become overwhelmed by how much more there is to know about Krishna. That's why hearing is so important. What's the first thing you do when you want to be in Maya? You stop hearing. Anything else? Yes, as Anirudha Prabhu pointed out, you stop hearing about Krishna. You don't want to be bothered. Isn't it bothersome to hear those verses in Bhagavad Gita if you have some other program in mind? What do you think? It's a pain in the neck. Inhibits you, gives you guilt complexes, and as we all know, whatever you do, never do something that gives you a guilt complex. That's the golden rule of the age of Kali. If it makes you feel guilty, it's got to be bad. Not the activity you did, but someone trying to say something that makes you feel guilty. That's bad. In ordinary morality, if you do something and you feel guilty, that means you probably did a sinful activity. But that's the old-fashioned understanding. Now, if you did something and you feel guilty, that means look around and find someone to accuse who laid a guilt trip on you. It's not the activity that you did that makes you feel guilty. It's someone artificially instilled these concepts in your mind that you should be guilty. Find that person out and get angry at that person. Yes. Huh? Yes. How do you become familiar with your service? Well, if this service has been given to you by Krishna, then you would show that understanding by paying so much attention to what you do. You would sacrifice in doing it. You'd be so attentive, so careful. Wouldn't you? So please see this great room for creativity that you have, however you're serving Krishna. No matter where you're living, no matter what your service is, there's so much room to improve, so much room to uplift your consciousness. But you have to let Krishna teach you this art. Otherwise, things are going to look restricted to you. I've been doing this service for 5 years. Same thing every day. Instead of thinking like that, you think, Krishna wants to teach me something by my doing this service. When the Lord wants to change me, He'll change me. But meanwhile, I'm going to see, by His grace, the unlimited room for creative expansion while doing this service. Isn't that exciting? Then your service comes to life. And Krishna will teach you something every day. You make it into a drudgery, and that's what it'll appear to you. But you see the service, as you heard in Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna will show you so much room for creativity and fulfillment. But Krishna has to show you this. You can't show it to yourself. This bhakti belongs to Krishna. It's his energy. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna.